Everybody wants you to help them, which means that I've lost count how many DJs I've helped get on the radio. I've lost count how many DJs I've helped get parties. I've lost count how many DJs I've helped get on tours. I've lost count how many people I've helped.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, if I don't help you, I'm gatekeeping.
Mm.
So what happens is a lot of people be like, yeah, you help dumb people, but you didn't help me.
Mm.
So now I'm in my feelings. No, actually put in the work. If you're as good as you say you are, no one has to put you on. Nobody put Quicksilver on. Mm. And when I came out, I never even worried about it. You got to think, when I first came to DC, they hated me.
Mm.
I'm a Baltimore guy saying I'm ready to come take over DC. This is 20 plus years. You think they welcomed me with open arms? You think I said, oh my God, y'all gatekeeping? I went in and put in the work and showed that I'm better and I'm hustle better and I'm more consistent. A lot of people that have those complaints about gatekeeping, are you really consistent asking that? Or have you consistently 24/7, 365, really been working on your craft?
Yeah.
Or are you one of the people that is sitting on the sideline and complain about somebody ain't put you on because I'm in the way? I'm not in the way of anybody. A lot of DJs have gotten on since Quicksilver. I've been hot for 30 years. Look how many DJs have still got their thing and doing their thing. They not saying I'm gatekeeping because they winning.
Yeah.
It's the people that are losing. The losers always, and this is a quote that I live by, winners collaborate, losers compete.
Mm.
Winners collaborate, losers compete. The losers are always going to have something to say.
So that's true, right? But I think like when I talk about my platform, I feel like I'm the voice for like the people that's still grinding. Like some people think I made it, but I still think I talk for the people at the bottom, right? I say that to say, through my experience, right, I do think my generation has done a much better job at collaborating and helping each other out than, like, I've been in rooms where it's like, I feel like it's people that can help me out.
Mm-hmm.
I never had no mentor. It's like, I wish I had a mentor, especially when I was in Baltimore. Like, yo, I wish people, somebody that came up and grabbed me and just helped me out, bro. And instead of like criticizing me and just telling me I was wrong or pointing a finger, it's like, but it's like my generation, like they'll help you. It seems like, whereas though the older generation, like they almost scared to give you a shot because you're going to take their spot.
Because they're insecure. Back what you just said, the people that are afraid to give you a shot are insecure of in who they are because they know that you're better than them. I've never been insecure. I'm not intimidated by anybody. In my mind, I'm the best at what I do.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the world that can out Quicksilver. Nobody.
Mm.
So once you get the mentality that I'm not competing with anybody, I'm really back to your one of your original questions. What am I still chasing? I'm chasing me to be the best version of me. I'm not in competition with anybody. If anybody right now thinks that you're competing with Quicksilver, I'm sorry to give you the bad news. You're not.
Mm.
You might in your mind think you are, but I promise you, you're not top of mind. You're not on my mind at all.
Mm.
There's literally not one person I'd be like, damn. Because I just want to be the best version of me. So back to the gatekeeping, when people say that about, not me personally, but just about anybody, it's really, in my mind, I'm asking you, you realize you live in a generation now where you can create your own lane. You don't have to wait for Jay Hill to get podcast. You can start your own podcast. But here's the thing, Jay Hill's popping. So he gatekeeping. No, Jay Hill really put in the work, like in real life.
Mm.
Quicksilver really put in the work, and I'm still outworking most of y'all.
Did you feel like people wasn't helping you come up though?
Especially when I first got to DC, absolutely not. They weren't. Nobody wanted me to win in DC. Like when I first came to DC, they was on radio making promos about me. This Baltimore band, but he say dude too. Like they were aggressively attacking me.
Mm.
Aggressively. It was so bad that, you know, I think I'm from Shea. I'm a old street dude. So my guys was like calling me like, yo, do we need to like go see somebody? I'm like, nah, these is from cornball. They just doing radio stuff. But in their mind, yo, we hear people talking bad about you and like, we're not going to let that fly.
Right.
But I said, guess what? I'm out working. Mm. I'm out working. I know I'm better than them at DJing, rocking parties, all that. I'm just going to show that I'm better and then market myself as the king before I become the king.
Mm.
And then I have to live up to the hype by continuously marketing, promotion, and working harder than everybody else. So nobody in DC can be like, yeah, it's nobody can be like, we put Quicksilver on. Nobody.
Yo, you know, they say, I know everybody's path is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is just like, personally, talking to you, I'm going to make this selfish. How do you break through the market like you did? Because I feel like with me, as much as I champion being independent, right, and people look at it like, yo, you really did on your own. I wish I could have did like you. I tell my friends to this day, I wish I could have did radio. That just wasn't in my, like,
That wasn't in your path.
I wanted to, though. It's like, how do you break in that space?
For me, is that when you're going into a new market, you have to be different. And for me, when I first came to D.C. 20 plus years ago, I remember saying to myself, it's a lot of dope DJs in D.C. and a lot of dope hosts in D.C. and a lot of dope radio personalities. So the difference between radio personality and the club host, right? So I remember saying, damn, there's some really good DJs here. Damn, these are really good hosts. Damn, he or she is really good on radio. But I don't know one person that's doing all three with perfection. I said, my niche is I'm going to come in and be the host and be the DJ and be the radio personality. And then I'm going to do something that they're not doing. I'm going to actually invest in myself and market myself. Shout out to Abdul. He'll tell you the story. He owns Air now. But when I first came to D.C., he had H2O. He had all the clubs. He was one of the big club owners. And I remember when I first started DJing at H2O, I went and made flyers and billboards. All money. Saying Quicksilver performing here. I had the pop-up billboards, Quicksilver performing here. And I remember some of the DJs went to Abdul and was pissed. Like, that's crazy. You put this dude, he said, he paid for all that. That's him. Don't charge doors. Back to the gatekeeper. Stop complaining and put some money into yourself. Y'all let this out-of-town dude outwork y'all and outshine y'all. And the dude done put rap trucks in the street. I have things called quick trucks. I don't even remember this. You can Google it. I had quick trucks with mobile billboards. Welcome to DC. Quicksilver's here. Nobody was doing that. Is that my fault that I had the brains to market and pull more myself? Or are you going to say he gatekeep because he got billboards? He gatekeeping because he got...
My question is myself. How do you get away with that when I've seen big-time DJs get hired at local radio stations here. I know you still working, so I'm not going to say no names because I know you got business. But I see local DJs that was really good, big brand, and it's like they almost try to strip that away from you. It's like, I don't want you to have a brand outside of the radio. That's what it seems like.
And for those people who think that we're in radio, once again, it's them being intimidated. I've never, and Funk Flex actually told me this. I remember when I first started like touring, and like, this is back, I was told when I did the Rock the Mic tour. So Rock the Mic tour was Jay-Z, 50, Missy, Fab, Lil Mo, and Busta Rhymes. So I remember when I was touring on that tour, I was DJing for Lil Mo at the time. And this is when I first started like going to other cities and getting parties and stuff like that. And then I wanted to go back on radio when I finished touring. And I remember Funk Flex saying, you gotta be careful, man. You turning into an animal. I said, what's the thing, OG? Huh? He said, your brand is getting bigger than the program. And a lot of them people in them radio stations, they get intimidated once people feel like you're doing a lot without them. And I remember hearing that and never forgetting that. Like, I'm never going to allow a company or entity or anything I'm a part of dictate my success. Because I never want to be the person that loses something and that I lose a part of who I am. So to this day, every endorsement you've seen me have, my major, like, national deals, the DTLRs, the Remy's, all the stuff, has been directly through me, not any company. Because I've always wanted to make sure that I've marketed and branded myself as myself. So if you ask 10 different people, I'm not Quicksilver from that radio station or Quicksilver from that brand. I'm just Quicksilver. So I don't know if I answered your question. I've always marketed myself as myself, not myself as a part of something.
But I'm asking, how do you, Quicksilver, pierce the industry skin when you have like a young DJ that's hot right now, and when they come in, they saying they actually like downing them for doing all of those things?
You ready for this? There's people right now for the company I work for that I know for a fact don't like my success off radio. They never tell me publicly, but I know they don't. Because in their mind, yo, this guy really can lead. Like, you got to think, I've quit radio 3 times. And every time I've quit, they've brought me back. It's because I'm me. My brand is my brand. I built a brand as myself, not myself because I'm on radio. So even when I quit radio, Quicksilver didn't stop being Quicksilver. I ain't stopped DJing parties all over the world. I ain't lose no endorsements. I ain't lose nothing. Like, I've always been able to, but still, to this day, I know some of the powers that be because they're used to, it's almost the mentality of when they say, you don't want to have a better car than the owner. Yeah. Because then the owner gets in your feelings. Quicksilver's always had the better car. So now, like, and they still throw little jabs at me. Like, I mean, I ain't gonna throw no name, but I had a higher up recently. You know what he said to me when he came and saw me? Like, oh, must be your Maserati outside. You always doing it. You know, that's a sideways comment, right?
Yeah.
Somebody said, like, well, I see you doing it, big
homie. Backhanded.
I Hollywood.
Yeah.
I see you, Hollywood. This is them now telling you, I'm intimidated by your success. They're not going to publicly say it. So people might think that I'm immune to the hate and immune to the higher ups and immune to it, but I'm not.
So I, you know, it's funny. Again, I have no idea. This is, I was talking to somebody and I said, this is just my observation. I could be totally wrong. I said, you know what I think it is? Because the question I'm asking is like, how can you do it, but a younger DJ can't, who's popping too? And I was, this is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think the difference is Quick understands the assignment of the business in, let's say, a 92Q.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got Big L, right? But I know, I would feel like he only wants to work with you, right? So I'm like, in my mind, if you get one of the station's biggest contributors, they can't get rid of you. So that's in my opinion. So I'm like,
as long as you bring revenue and ratings to any business, they're always going to look at you as valuable.
Is that true that you, did you bring some of the biggest?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know. This is something that I just made up.
Yeah. So like, Quicksilver is a brand that makes money.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're in the business to make money. So a lot of DJs, their ego tells them that they're bigger than what they are. So their ego, I'm dope. Everybody tell me I'm dope, but I'm the man. But can you sell out a venue by yourself?
Mm.
I promise you they can, by the way. Can you now, are any clients actively saying, hey, I want to advertise with him?
Mm.
Because when you have that type of power, then they have to bypass how they personally feel about you or whatever ego they think you have, because they know for a fact people are spending money because you are a part of it.
Mm.
So for that younger DJ, you have to make yourself so valuable that it becomes undeniable.
Mm.
And a lot of them people who have that problem, they know for a fact, if they really did some soul searching and look at themselves and say, am I undeniable, that guy or that girl? Undeniable. I know for a fact any party my name is on is going to sell out. I know if any radio show I'm on be number one, I know that any client is going to want to advertise with me. Like, am I really that? Mm. Or do I just think I'm the man because my friend said I'm dope?
Mm.
Once you become undeniable, you now are valuable to yourself and to business.
Mm. Do you think radio is like, of course, you on radio, but do you think it's obsolete?
Do you need radio right now to be hot? Absolutely not. Jay Hill's hotter than most people that's on the radio.
Mm.
You're showing that radio is still, because I hear people say, oh, radio's going to be gone away. Radio's going to be, it's old, washed up. I got people still listen to radio. But you don't need radio to be hot. It used to be a time when whenever I got booked for something, the first thing they wanted to do was buy a commercial on the radio. So Quicksilver could shout out on the radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you the last time I've even advertised on the radio. Now, I'm positive this is not what the powers that be want to hear, but I'm being honest. We can now do it social media. I can now spend no money, promote my stuff on Instagram, and I sell out parties. I'm selling out parties in Houston and Charlotte and Miami and everywhere off my Instagram. I got over 1 million followers. So now radio is still relevant, but you don't need it to be relevant, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Radio is now the icing on the cake, where it used to be the cake.
Mm.
It used to be the cake and everything else. The internet was the icing. So you had to be this is your base. Now the internet is taking over. The digital space is king right now.
Mm.
And radio complements it.
Mm. Keep staying in radio. You had some, couple bumps in the road in your career.
I had tons of bumps in the road.
I'm curious, how do you continue to flourish? And it's like the same question, because I'm trying to soak up the game myself. Lil Mo was here.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened with Lil Mo. You remain. The chick from DC, light skin chick, I forgot her name. You know, your co-host when you did the morning show, I forgot her name.
Oh, crazy chick, Danny. Oh,
Danny.
Geez.
She was here. Something happened. You remain.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in all these situations where you are the one that get to keep your job?
Money. Back to what I said. The person who brings in the advertising is always going to be good. As long as people are spending money because you're part of something, companies need you. The most situation, nothing happened, like Mo, my sister, like we still talk every day, like that's family. Nothing happened with me and Mo. Mo, and I can say this now publicly because she's spoken. I never ever speak on anybody unless they speak on it. Mo was going through a lot at the time. Like, I mean, if you really, you know, and I'm so glad that she is in a space now where she's winning one. Where she's been on tour with Kat for the last few years. But like, she is winning right now. Lil Mo is, she's found her niche. She's found her lane. But at the time we were doing morning radio, it was a lot going on in her life. She was in the marriage that she's now out of. Mm-hmm. It was a lot going on. I leave it at that.
The drug addiction, a lot.
So if I said, I'm not going to speak on, but she spoke on it.
Yeah, she did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. Nothing happened with us where, like, nothing. Like, it was things of her life where the company made a decision, like, okay, this is not working.
Mm. Yeah. When do you, like, know that this is the show? Like, again, we see a Breakfast Club. I think it's been a long time now, over 10 years, like 20.
Man, I ain't been 20. Been about 15.
15 years now.
15.
And it was like, they kind of got it and hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. You've had morning, a lot of
mornings, night, afternoon. Yeah. I've done everything.
Are they just putting it together? Do you have any say so in it? Like, how do you get to a space where you have that Breakfast Club success, so to say?
So with the Breakfast Club there, and I always commend Envy and Charlamagne because they've showed the power of the digital space. Before Breakfast Club, nobody was really going digital on radio. Radio, we thought we was it. You need us, you come to us. And with Breakfast Club, they did two things. First, they showed you the power of digital space. Most people know Breakfast Club 90% from Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah.
They don't actually turn on the dial on the knob on the station. Yep. They watch the clips. And the second thing that Breakfast Club did that I really am thankful for, they showed that morning show can be young. Before Breakfast Club, think of all your morning show.
Tony
show was always the older guy. Tom Joyner, Russ Parr, mm-hmm. Donnie Simpson, yep. Doug Banks. It was old. Like it was like the morning show was the older, then the afternoon it got younger as the time slot.
The night went, probably the youngest.
Yeah, the night time was always the young guy.
Yep.
Breakfast Club showed companies that, oh my God, young people were actually listening to the morning show.
Mm.
And that's how people like Quiksilver was able to even do morning radio, because the company saw the success of Breakfast Club and like, wow, we need to find us somebody young, hip, that's in the streets, that's in the community, that's online, that's on the digital space, and not just put the person who's the oldest who's been around, and since he's been around forever, put him on the mornings. Mm. They showed the success of that, and because of that, a lot of people owe them their career.
Yeah.
Especially young people.
So why do you think the constant change, though, for your situation, though, in radio? Like, you've had a lot of shows.
I think for me, because I do so much. Every time I walked away from radio, just because I felt like I had so much going on and radio was in the way of it. Because radio, even though you're on air full time, it's a full-time job. and I've had times in my life where certain things just got precedence over radio for me. And I'm like, my first time walking away from radio was when me and Angie Ann's was on nights.
Mm.
And this is 2007, 08. And I just had my son. And my son was just born. And when he got like 2 years old, I realized that I was never home. I was doing night shows every night. So I never was home to put him in bed because I didn't go off the radio until 10 p.m. I didn't get home till 11 o'clock. He was already asleep. So I'm like, I got to get out of this. Like, I got to ask. Like, some people going to Tim saying, I love y'all, but like, I gotta go home right now to my son. And they thought I was joking. I said, like, I don't know if y'all want to put me part-time or something, but I can't do this right now. Like, my son and my family is way more important than me being here every day. And they thought I was crazy. And I quit. So like, I think for me, I'm still doing radio now, not because I need radio, because I just like being able to touch people and talk to people daily. But there's other ways like this podcast. I mean, there's other things that I could do and other things I'm thinking about doing. But radio just been something that I've been doing for so long. I think that's why I'm still doing it.
Do you tell us? So I remember when I got a job at KYS, right? And they, I was doing a mix show at night.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask me, like, why I do the podcast. I'm like, bro, I just didn't want to wait my turn. Like, I didn't, like, and it might sound crazy, but it's like, the radio got the saying, like, the old heads, they ain't going nowhere. Like, niggas that got the full-time jobs ain't going nowhere.
Right.
What do you suggest as somebody, like, if you could think back to the young quick, right, and really, like, help somebody that might be in radio who might just be doing the mix show, they doing a board op, they really don't want to do board op, but they here because they said the way in,
right.
Board
ops for promotion.
Right, so what do you tell them that's, like, that's reaching for that full-time job, but it ain't coming because the full-time is going to be the full-time forever, seem like.
Make yourself hot without radio, and radio will come to you. Mm. Right now, you're in a position that you can dictate. If you want to come in radio right now, they will hire you right now.
Mm.
It's the reason why Jessie Larius is on radio. You know why?
Yes.
Because she's so popping off of radio, they need. Radio is now trying to find Jessie Larius to now bring her influence to people who don't listen to radio anymore. I call it the generation that get in their car and immediately put on their favorite music app and play music.
Mm-hmm.
Jessie Larius has figured out how to reach them, and now radio needs that.
Mm.
Radio needs Jay Hill right now. You know why? Because Jay Hill has showed that I can be popping without radio. What radio is doing right now is finding who's the biggest podcasters, who's the biggest influencer online, and let's give them a radio show. Anybody will hire Jay Hill right now. You probably didn't know that, but I promise you, because I know the conversation they're having, they're trying to make sure they can keep radio relevant to the people who don't listen to radio anymore. And how you do that? You find Jessie Larius, you find Jay Hill, you find whoever's popping, and you give them a radio show.
Yo, you've been from Baltimore. Speaking of Jess, man, you saw the situation we seen with Jess and Lauren on the Breakfast Club. Being from Baltimore, how did that make you feel? Like, what was your first?
The first thing, my initial reaction, I thought was fake. I'll be honest.
Really?
I thought it was fake because I know Thea. Thea is the...
She worked on Radio 1, right?
No, Thea is Breakfast Club. She's the big SVP for...
Oh, okay. I thought her.
Thea Mitchell. That's my OG. That's who really helped me, like, even want to get into radio 20 plus years ago. But that's who's over Breakfast Club, over Power 105. She's the big boss. One of the biggest names in radio, if not the biggest name. Mm-hmm. So I know Thea. I'm like, Thea wouldn't allow that on the air. That was real. That's my first thought. I was like, this can't be real. This has to be staged for radio and for them to get some rating. That's what I thought. And then when I realized it was real, I was like, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm not for real. That's crazy. Cause I would have put money on it that was fake.
Mm.
And how did it make me feel? I didn't have any. I mean, it didn't. Things that don't affect me financially or physically, I really don't pay too much attention to.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't read into all the comics and the blogs. I didn't care about that.
I ain't like it because, like, you know, Jess has given me, like, some of my first biggest interviews.
That's my family. I love her.
She's always supporting me. So when I seen it, I didn't like it because it's like, bro, like, I never want Jess to be in a position to feel like nobody, like, she's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I thought it was, like, mismanaged because I feel like they could have did a better job at, like, reassuring Jess that, like, yo, your job ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know it might look different, but this is what it is. So when I saw it, the first thing I thought was, like, not because I'm somebody, too, who has a hot head, right? Was a hot head. So when I seen it, it's like, bro, like, this is real, but it so happened to come out at work. I hope it don't really come back and bite her in the ass. Fortunately, it didn't. But that's the first thing I thought, like, man, because I see myself in him, like, man, I hope that doesn't hurt. Because I'm like, man, I understand, but we can't do that. Been there, done that, right? So that's what I was like, man.
I'm glad that Jess is winning. She deserves it, man.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of people from Baltimore speak, artists, all of that, we fail because of that mentality that we had?
Because when you're from Baltimore, you're already conditioned to think everybody's hating on you and the world's hating on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that we've been conditioned to think a way that a lot of us just can't turn off until you get outside of Baltimore. If you look at most of the people who make it, it's not that they leave Baltimore, it's that you become bigger in Baltimore once you become bigger somewhere else.
Mm.
So, like, people love to celebrate you when you're winning, but they don't see the work it takes to actually get to that winning stage of your life.
Mm.
So when you're winning, people can't wait to say, oh, that's my man. You know, we grew up together, went to school together. But they support you now because everybody else is supporting you now.
Mm.
So that's a mentality that a lot of people just never can turn off because they never get that success.
Mm.
You know, when you come up with somebody and y'all are both right here and you do this, you know, the old saying, everybody wants you to do good, just not better than them, right? That's a real thing. Like, it ain't just a catchphrase for a t-shirt. People really don't like to see you doing better than them, especially when they feel like they're better than you at your job. And you have to have thick skin. You have to be able to block out the noise. When I say the noise, I mean the comment section, the naysayers, the haters, the doubters. That comes with success. If you're not ready for naysayers, haters, doubters, comment section, people talking bad about you, people making rumors, just don't become successful. Stay regular. Because when you become Jay Hill, it comes with the territory. Unfortunately, we just don't want that, but it's no getting around it.
Did you ever go through some of the, you know, the hardships of like just being a product of? Okay.
Yes.
Me and Baltimore, they're going to let them hear it. Did you ever have to go through, because I didn't see it, and maybe because you are 30 years in the game. Have you ever been through some of the hardships of being a product of Baltimore? What I mean by that is, like, you know, I had my time with fucking in the club, arguing and things like that, and it was like, I tell people all the time, like, those are some of the mistakes that I wish I didn't make. Like, people like, I wouldn't change. Now I'm like, shit, man, y'all tripping. Like, I was on the brink of something crazy. And, like, just my actions fucked it up. Did you ever have those times?
I'm sure I have. Like, I've done so much good and bad in my life. Where I try not to even think about, always say my life is tailor-made for me. So anything I've been through in my life, good or bad, maybe at the moment I didn't like it, but it eventually made it taught me something. So I think moments like that for me was, when I first got into business a long time ago, I had the mentality that I want to be on so bad that I felt like back to I was super young. I was a teenager, but in my mind, I wanted to show off so much that I know it probably turned people off. Because I wanted to show you so bad. Like, my goal when I was first got in the business was to embarrass DJs. I wanted to embarrass you. I didn't want to just rock better than you. I wanted to embarrass you to a point where people were like, damn, you're phony. Like, I came into business as a turntablist. So I wanted to come in and out scratch and out DJ everybody. I remember starting some of my mixtapes, and I listened to them recently. I literally started the tape by just scratching to show that I was better than everybody else. And in that, I had no desire to work with nobody because I wanted to outshine you. I wanted to outshine you. And I think what I look back at it now and say I would have done it differently, no, because it, once again, it worked for me. It worked for me. And that's why I always say what works for me, I don't have a blueprint. Like, I can't tell you to do this because I did it and it worked for you, because it might not work for you.
I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, it's real, because, I mean, like, what you're saying is real. But for me, I still have those uneasy feelings, because it's like, you know, when you do something, like, you fuck up, is your fuck up, like, it's almost like, well, you've been married for so long, but like, you do something and you lose the girl, it hurts bad, because like, damn, I wish I ain't do something.
Right.
So the same in my life, it's like, it's like, you can switch it. Oh, you want to plug it? In my life,
you want to stop talking? You ain't got to be in the shot while you talking.
Bro, listen, bro, this is authentic, bro. They got to see the real, you feel me? Like, bro, I don't care, bro. They got to see the real, bro. You out?
Yeah, I got me done. It's 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. All right, bro. Thanks again, bro.
Can you
trap
for me?
I got you.
Yeah. Okay.
The NBA season's rolling, and DraftKings' newest game, Pick 6, is the easiest way to play your shot at big wins. NBA stars are lighting it up now, and their numbers aren't just highlights. They're your shot to cash in. Here's how it works. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. The better your picks, the bigger your payouts. So nail your picks tonight, and don't just win. Stack up those payouts. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. Don't just watch basketball. Pick, play, and cash in. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code JHILL. That's code with all caps, J-A-Y-H-I-L-L. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call, ride the upside, in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 and over. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Ends December 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Like, when again, like we go to DTLR or even like just things like that, it was like my lack of emotional discipline took me out of really good situations. And like, still to this day, I'm like, man, even though like some would say like, bro, if that ain't happened, you wouldn't have did this.
And I look, and that's what I'm saying about, you look at it as mistakes. It was a life lesson. If X1057 would never went out of business in 2002, Quicksilver would never became a national DJ. If X1057 wouldn't went out of business in 2002, Thea Mitchum never would have discovered the Breakfast Club.
Mm.
Like, if you ask me or Thea, who's that's my OG in the business, but that's the big SVP at Clear Channel and all that and Power 105, she probably would still been the PD at a little small station in Baltimore.
Mm.
It had to go out of business. Now, when it went out of business, were we all upset? Did we all lose our job? Did we all go broke? Yes. But guess what? Look at us now. Look at us 20 plus years later. Mm. So any mistake that you've made in your life or anything that you feel like you lost because you were temperamental or you were high-headed, you're Jay Hill now, one of the biggest podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue and say, aren't you glad that did happen? Because if you didn't, you wouldn't have became this. You'd have been complacent at doing the radio job that you were doing or complacent at working with DTLR, and you've been there for 20, 30 years and whatever. And you never will probably chase your dreams. A lot of us have dreams and goals and aspirations, but we don't chase them because we become comfortable.
Mm.
We become comfortable in a space that don't even want us there.
Mm.
And a lot of times it takes for things to happen to have you pushed out before you really realize, damn, I got to chase my own shit. Like, everything that I've lost in my life has taught me of what to do and what not to do to become who I am today. Mm. And for you, I don't know if you've looked at it as, I'm glad I was hot-headed. Because if I was not, now, you know, did you probably go through some stuff that you wish you should have, could have did differently yet? But those moments led you to this seat you're sitting in right now.
Mm.
So if you ask me, it wasn't a loss, it was a lesson.
No, for sure.
Is it anything that you look back on, even if it's work, if it's family, whatever, is it anything that you look back on an old Quicksilver and you like, wish you could like sit down and talk to him and tell him today? Like, if you like, what was the hardest part of your life? I know you said when you got fired, but I mean, when they went out of business.
Yeah. But that was one. I'm being real honest with you and transparent. Everything I went through in my life has taught me something.
Mm.
Everything. So would I want to do anything differently?
What would you tell the old Quicksilver?
What would I tell the old Quicksilver? What would I tell 14-year-old Quicksilver at Indigo? I would tell him, trust the process.
Mm.
Trust the process and fall in love with the process. And what I mean by that is that we fall in love with the end goal, but not the process.
Mm-hmm.
The process is dirty, it's ugly, it's not pretty. You lose a lot of money, you lose a lot of friends. That's the process. And once you fall in love with becoming better, you never look at life with regrets. I don't really have anything that I would tell the young Quicksilver like to do or not to do differently, because he did it his way.
Mm.
You know, I commend my dad all the time, rest in peace, because I think of how much scrutiny he got for allowing me to DJ in a club at 14. Mm. All his friends, even my family, told me he was crazy. Then you're setting that kid up for failure. Like, and now, in hindsight, that I'm a dad, I couldn't imagine my son, he's almost 18 now, but when he was 14, if he decided he wanted to be a DJ in some clubs that I wanted to hire him, I'm like, one, that club is it's illegal. And two, like, absolutely not. It ain't even safe. That's how I would think as a dad now. Mm. I'm glad my dad did allow me to do that, because that one club helped shape me into who I am 30 years later. So I would tell him, trust the process and block out the, like my dad did. I don't know how he did it. Like everybody, I say everybody told my dad he was crazy for allowing his 14-year-old son to DJ in the nightclub.
You contribute like most of your success to your dad, would you say?
Definitely, because I wasn't even Quicksilver when my mom died. My mom died when I was 10. I ain't my first set of turntables until that Christmas after my mom died. So when my mom was alive, my mom died from cancer, so she had been sick for years before she passed. But, you know, my dream, there was to be a football star, and I was, you know, I was playing drums and piano. Like, I still play drums and piano, so, like, I had no idea that I was going to be a DJ or business owner, any of that, like, when my mom was alive. My dad was the one, he died when I was 18, but by 18, I already was me. Like, I already was on radio. I was popping at 18. Like, I already was doing, you know, mix shows and clubs and traveling, doing homecomings in different cities. Like, so my dad was definitely the one who really pushed me to have this career that I have today.
So, like, you don't ever think about that, like, just the conversation that you would have, like, you see a Quicksilver now?
I know he's proud of him. I know my mom's proud of him. I know my granny grand is proud of him. People, you know, all my immediate family who's already passed away. But I wish selfishly, you know, say God will make mistakes. I wish selfishly my dad was here to almost rub it in people's face. Mm. Like, I told you my son was going to make it. Y'all told me I was crazy. Mm. And my father, like, you, I say you can't, I can't put it into words. My father was scrutinized for allowing me to be a DJ. Mm. Because everybody said he was setting me up for failure. You're setting him up for failure. You were setting him up to think that this life is real. You're setting him up to think that he can, everybody. And he's too young to even be there. And he never got a chance to see me become this. Mm. So selfishly, I wish he was still here just so he can be like, I knew it. Mm. And look, man, all y'all, now all y'all want something from him. All y'all want some money, y'all want a job, but this is the same little kid that I told y'all was gonna be a star.
Mm. Yo, nah, like I said, bro, it's so much to talk about, so much history in Baltimore that I feel like, you know, especially when it comes to the club, like
club music, artists, like, man, everything. Like, you gotta think artist wise, just thinking of like some of the artists that I've helped. Like, I can do Baltimore or DC. Baltimore, the first artist I would say is Tim Trees. So Tim Trees is Bankrolls. And Bankrolls been remade 100 times by 100 people. But the original Bankrolls came out 20 plus years ago, artist by the name of Tim Trees. I remember when he first, because I'm from East Baltimore, he's from East Baltimore. I remember when Tim Trees first made that record. And he, I had it on a, what was it, a tape? It might have been a cassette tape or a CD, because it wasn't in no wax yet. He had just made the record, and the club that we broke that record in was called Paradise Lounge. Mm. On was that Bel Air Road? Listen, out Sedonia. But I remember us playing that record every single Saturday before it became anything. I remember working with Shy Glizzy. You know, I've told this story tons of times. But, you know, I remember working with him. I remember getting the call, and this is when I first started like really working with Glizzy, and this is when he had Awesome out. And I remember getting the call from Leo Cohen. I was sitting at my dinner table with my wife, and Leo Cohen called me. And when he called me, if you ever talk to Leo, he has a very distinct voice. This is Leo, and talks really slow like this. So my phone ringing, it's a number I don't realize. I'm like, I know that, knowing it. So I'm like, he kept calling back. I'm like, what the fuck is he calling me? So I finally answered. I'm like, hello? Quicksilver, this is Leo Cohen. Tell me about Shy Glizzy. I'm like, man, stop playing on my phone. Hung up. Calls back. He's like, Quick, don't you hang up on me. This is Leo. I'm like, oh, shit. So then my mom like, oh, this Leo Cohen. This is the big guy, yeah. The boss's boss. Mm-hmm. He like, I heard about this artist named Shy Glizzy. I'm thinking about signing him. If I sign him, will you work with me to make sure you can break him in the market? I'm like, oh shit, this Leo Cohen call, Mr. Crazy. And I remember me and Shy drove in New York, met with him, Kevin Lyles, got the deal that day. They signed me to a little thing to like help promote him. And like, but like things like that that I've done in my life, I don't even like celebrate it because I really enjoy helping people. Like I really, and that's why I said we were talking about the gatekeeping question. I'm like, I've done so much for so many artists and DJs. If anybody says I'm gatekeeping, you just don't know all that I've done because I don't publicize. Like there's a lot of DJs that are on radio today that I know for a fact I got them a job. I never told nobody I got them. And I'm never, today I'm not even going to tell you who it is because I've never done it for the praise to say, I got him a job, I got her a job, I got this. I made sure they didn't get fired. I just do it because that's who I am. So,
yo, what do you think about, I'm just curious now because you're talking history. When you see somebody like Squirrel Watt, who's created something legendary like a Hooligan Express, right?
And like, yeah, dumb ain't slick. That right line.
Come pick me up. Like, that was a Baltimore thing. And you see how already the station can let him go. Like,
and once again, I want to say Squirrel got let go during the pandemic. I want to say it was during the pandemic. Well, the pandemic fucked a lot of people because companies then were forced to make decisions that they did not want to make. It wasn't based off talent. It wasn't based off of your ratings because Animal House was number one. So it wasn't that. It was literally budget cuts. Like a lot of people got fired, not just from Radio One, across the board during the pandemic. And for this day, I know for a fact, personally, like the company, you know, the decision they had to make for financial reasons, they didn't agree with. But unfortunately, if you don't make those hard, difficult decisions, you go out of business. So sometimes you have to, you know, cut certain things to cut certain people simply to keep your ship afloat. Because do you keep everybody and is now everybody? All of us lose our job because we're trying to be loyal? Or do we now make those uncomfortable decisions so that we can at least keep the company in business?
I don't think you cut somebody like him only because I know it's a business, right?
But and not just that, man. You got to think, not just him. He got cut and Conan got cut.
Yeah.
Conan was 92 Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he was been there probably 30 plus. He was the phone flex of 92 Kid.
Nah, facts. Right. But I guess what I'm saying from the younger generation, like, that when that happens, somebody that wants to do radio like a me, right? It's like, nah, man, if they do that.
What I'm gonna tell you is this. What I will tell you is this: for anybody who wants to get into radio, there's no loyalty in radio. If you get into radio and you think that because you're a good person or good jock or good DJ or good whatever it is, that the company is going to be loyal to you, I promise you they're not. This is radio is definitely a I look out for me business. Radio would tell you, if I gotta lose my job or yours, you getting fired. Like I'm not gonna lose my job over you. And that's how people in radio think. Nobody's in radio saying, because you're good, I'm be loyal. Because you're only as good as your last show, you're only as good as your last book, and you're only as good as whatever revenue you can bring in. If you're not bringing in revenue or ratings, you're out of here in radio. So for anybody that's young that still wants to get into radio, I mean the joke is out of me, but like don't do it. Like start your podcast. Start do your own thing because you can then dictate right now. If I'm using you as a great example, you've created a platform that arguably some people would say that's bigger than some people's radio's platforms because you have a consistent, real following that follows you, not follows you because you're on the radio or follows you because you're at that club. They follow you. And once you become your own brand, then you can dictate what you want. When you're not your own brand, they can tell you what I'm going to pay you. Radio has never been able to tell me. Every deal I've had in radio, I negotiated every single one. I've never had them say, hey, I'm gonna give you a job and I'm paying you this. Yeah, no club can say that about me. Anybody who knows me, like, you can never say Quicksilver's ever undercut anybody. I've always been the top of the totem pole when it comes to getting paid. So, because I know my worth and I'm willing to walk away from it because I've done it when I feel like I'm not being valued. When I feel like a company doesn't value my worth, I leave that company because I'm like, I don't, I know my worth. I know what I bring to the table. I know my talent. I know my following. I know this. So you can't lie to me because I had a bad book.
Hmm.
Or I'm like, that's, I know, like, you tell that to some new jock who really wants to get in radio because they're just so happy to have the job.
Hmm.
I'm not doing this for a job. I'm doing it because I just like doing it. I got 50 jobs.
Before we get out of here, we gotta have fun. Gotta have fun before we leave.
You good, bro?
Give me your Mount Rushmore of DJs in Baltimore.
Quicksilver. That's a difficult question, but I'll still try to answer. So what I can say as far as my personal favorite?
Yeah.
My personal favorite, and this is in no order. And I'm going to say, when I say my personal favorite before I answer this, these are the DJs that I love and DJs that I feel like has inspired me. The first DJ that's really inspired me because he showed me what performing looks like, and he's one of the best. Frank Ski.
Okay.
Frank Ski, if you never seen, you've seen me live. If you never seen Frank live, they used to call me, when I was young, they used to call me Baby Frank Ski.
Mm.
So this was when I was like 15. And Frank was the GOAT at that point. He had not just radio, he had Hammer Jacks, Louie Louis, and he was the first, one of the first people to be the promoter, DJ, host all the way. It was his night.
Mm.
2,000 people every week. I get the door, I get everything. This is mine. So Frank Ski, because of his talent and because he showed me entrepreneurship. Frank was one of the first people I know had his own restaurant, had his own stuff outside of radio. Next, DJ Booby.
Hmm.
DJ Booby, definitely a lot of my style of how I first came into business was Frank Ski and Booby combined. Because Frank always had the gift of gab on the mic. But Booby had the mic, but the skill set. DJ Booby, oh my God. I don't know how you remember like the impact that DJ Booby had.
I heard about it. Oh, 34.
No. And Booby was, you put it in perspective, DJ Booby mixtapes were so big in Baltimore. If he dropped the mixtape, you hook school to go to Rice Town Road Plaza to get it.
Wow.
He was that big. I mean, there's never been anybody since DJ Booby. Maybe DJ Clue in New York will be close to what Booby was to Baltimore mixtape-wise.
Jeez.
Booby was selling millions of mixtapes in the late 80s, early 90s. So, like, Booby owned the 90s. From 90s, it was DJ Booby and then everybody else.
Mm.
So I would say Frank Ski, DJ Booby. One of my favorite DJs still to date, Super DJ Big L.
I'm so glad you...
Super DJ Big L. Hands down, one of my favorite DJs of all times.
Bro.
Big L, and I'll say this now, Big L would be... Big L, back when you say you're some of the things you said were your downfall when you were coming up. Big L would be a million times bigger if he could control his temper.
Mm.
Especially online. You see every other day Big L is cussing somebody out. God forbid you do something, he gonna let you have it on the mic. He gonna fuck all y'all, fuck you, fuck this club. He gonna go on Instagram and that sometimes has hurt L.
Mm.
Not his talent.
That's probably why we were so cool.
That's not his talent. Nobody can say Big L ain't one of the dopest DJs in Baltimore ever.
I know.
Super, like.
What was the club on Redwood?
It was with Trust.
It was a different club.
Oh, Dubai.
No, it might have been Redwood before. Yeah. I forgot. It was a long time ago. I'll never forget, bro. DJ Big L was talking to a girl through his set.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, y'all want to holler at you. I want to talk to you. But every like word or sentence came from a song. I'm because like, I've never seen
Big
that
L
in my life.
Probably arguably one of the most creative DJs I've ever worked with.
Mm.
So Frank Ski, Booby, Big L. Rest was five people?
No, four. Yeah, four.
I mean, Nick Quicksilver. I mean,
okay.
Of course me. I'm putting me.
I'm not mad at that.
So I would say Frank, Booby, L, Quicksilver.
Oof.
Personally for me.
Best club song ever.
That's a difficult question. Best club song ever?
Top three. Make it easy.
Dance My Pain Away.
Sheesh.
Definitely. Still to this day. I'm the Shit. DJ Class. And then I would say probably Pick 'Em Up. Probably pick them up.
Isn't it crazy how pork chop can like be so revolutionary? Like,
bringing the cats is definitely right there. If I had four, I would say.
And that, isn't that like relatively new?
Yeah, but compared to the other songs.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
Think About came out 25 years ago, if not longer, maybe 30. Oh,
yeah, how do you see, like, you coming up, when you seen, because they say, and you perfectly had the conversation with, club music, arguably some people would say, the people that know, arguably they would say Chicago with the house music or Baltimore. This is way before we get to Jersey, right? What does, and through your experience, was it Baltimore first or was it Chicago?
So house and club music are two different things. So house has a constant boom, 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 boom. Club music has boom, 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 boom. So it's a different drum pattern to start. But Frank Ski, once again, we credit him. One of the first big club records was Doo-Doo Brown. And he rapped on it. Everybody just paused and then down to the group. Doo-Doo Brown, the brand new brother in town. So Frank Ski arguably was one of the founders of like club music. And then of course is Unruly. My partner Sean C's and Scotty B. You know, they started Unruly Records, which all the first big club records in the early 90s came out on.
So how did Jersey tick?
So with when people argue, and then they even put Philly in the conversation.
Yeah, now it's Jersey,
Not Baltimore Club is called Baltimore Club. It's club music. We invented club music. Baltimore invented club music. Not Philly, not Jersey, Baltimore. So from that, it's evolved. Because what Jersey and Philly started doing was taking the same club music, speeding it up a little bit, but then rapping over it. And making them songs, where club music started off with just samples. We would sample whatever the popular song was at the time, whether it was hip hop or R&B, and then you would make it into a club song. It wasn't a lot of songs. Raw Lee definitely gets the credit for me, as far as a person who really owned making songs. That's why Dance My Pain Away, I Got Feel Me. Burr, 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 burr. I mean, all Raw Lee songs. Songs. So he kind of helped it elevate from being just beats and samples to actually real records that you could perform on in front of a crowd.
Sheesh. Yeah, man, because you hear, you know, go out of town, they say like Jersey, like, nah, bro, I have no idea.
Baltimore created this sound that Jersey and Philly follow suit on, and they're doing good with it. They're doing good with it. I mean, you know, you see a lot of these Jersey and Philly artists that are making money now off of something we created.
Bro, like I said, bro, we could do a part two or three. There's so much to talk about with you, bro. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work, man. I know I've told you this, but I just want to say publicly, man, like I'm really proud of you. I love seeing people follow their dreams and not get pigeonholed into what society says you have to do or do it that way. You figured out your lane. No one can say you're gatekeeping because this is your lane. This is something that you've worked your ass off. And, you know, my principles that I've been speaking about forever are hard work, dedication, and consistency. But the key to hard work, dedication, and consistency is you have to do all three all the time. A lot of people are hard working when they're being paid.
Yep.
When the money's gone, they stop working as hard. A lot of people are dedicated when they're being celebrated. When the likes aren't there or the claps aren't there, their dedication goes away. People are consistent, once again, if they're making money or getting claps. If they're not getting that, their consistency stops. Or they win something and then they start slacking off because in their mind, I made it. The keys to success and longevity. When people say, quick, how have you become this guy? And for 30 years, you've still been the guy. I'm consistent. You know exactly what you're going to get. And then I've always been willing to adapt with the times. I've never got caught in my way where a lot of old DJs and rappers and singers, they get intimidated by the next generation because things change. And they're like, I wanted to stay this way because this is how I was always been. All right, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah,
I'm going to adapt every time. I'm not going to change who I am, but I'm going to adapt. If this is what's popular right now, let me figure out how I can get a part of this. Or then I'm going to keep young people in my circle to make sure they keep me relevant around certain things. And because I'm so active I'm so active in the community. I'm so active in the the motivational room. I'm so active in charity. I'm so active in so many things that it helps DJ Quicksilver. Mm. Because now, once again, I said to you earlier, I don't have fans. I got supporters. My supporters ride with me, thick and thin, no matter what. They hear because they've seen my struggle. They've seen my life. They've seen this. They've seen me do this and then go like this and do this. Then they've seen every time this little nigga just won't give up. Mm. Every time I've been canceled, every time I've been anything, I just won't give up. Mm. I won't give up. Nobody can ever say Quicksilver don't have talent. Nobody can ever say that nigga outworked all of us. Like, anything that's ever negative is just blatant jealousy, hate.
Or misunderstanding, though. Because I will say, I've been in some rooms where people just hate or misunderstood you. And I remember, like, sometimes your name supersedes your presence. So, like, people will hear about you before they even meet you. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first time hearing you DJ, it just was different, bro. Because I love being, I love when somebody proved me wrong, because I love doing it. I love when I learn something new about people. Mm-hmm. I just love all of those things, right? So I remember hearing the perception of Quicksilver before I met you.
You tell me, because I've heard people say this before, but I never had a chance to ask somebody. Me podcast you right now.
Yeah.
What was the perception of Quicksilver that you heard before you met me?
Cocky, arrogant, all of the shit they say people that are successful are now that I see, honestly. Just cocky, shit like that, right? But again, when I first heard you DJ, bro, it really was an experience. And that's why I can go in I don't have no reason to lie. I don't give a fuck about niggas that much to cat for niggas, respectfully. So when I'm saying these things, it's not because I want something from you. It's truly a real real experience. Like, when I first heard your DJ, it was like, it really was different. Even to this day, bro, there's been times where I've been in a spot and I'm not working, I'm not hosting. Mm-hmm. You make a nigga want to host. You make a nigga want to work. It's like, it's really, you enjoy it, bro. Like, you're really one of the most talented DJs that I've known. And I pray that people can continue to give you your flowers, one, but see you as the superstar that you are, because a lot of times we downplay our celebrities because of proximity, right? I joke on Atlanta about this all the time. Like, man, y'all niggas are crazy because y'all keep thinking all these niggas are regular because y'all around them. Nigga, T.I. is still T.I. What y'all talking about, right? Same with you, though, right? And that's why I say I pray that people could see you for the superstar that you are, and not just because you Quicksilver, because I see you every day. Nah, it's way bigger than that. And I salute you for sure.
Appreciate you, man. That's love, man.
Nah, for sure, man. Quicksilver, DJ Quicksilver, for the people that don't know, follow him. All social medias.
Yeah, DJ Quicksilver on everything. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever.
Much respect, man. Hopefully we can do this again, because y'all think it's a game. It's so much that we ain't even touch on, bro.
I've been through a lot, my bro. I've been through a lot, and I've overcome a lot. And I think what I want somebody to take from this interview is that no matter what you've been through in your life, you can still make it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what's thrown your way, as long as you don't give up. One of my vitamins of the day was, if you do anything long enough, you become great at it.
Mm.
Anything, whatever it is. And I think I've been a walking testimony that you can become great at anything if you really want it bad enough. Mm. A lot of people getting their feelings because they're not winning in the time frame where they think they should be winning. And then that's when you gatekeeping, like, there's nobody hating on you. Nobody's even checking for you like that. Nobody's gatekeeping. This is something that you put in your own brain, and now it's going to take over your life because you keep thinking these things about yourself.
Mm.
What you think becomes reality if you put in the work behind that thought.
Mm.
And I hope that somebody watches this interview and they say, damn, I'm going to really put in the word now.
Much respect, bro. I wish I had the drink champs. Flowers, bro.
I got my water.
My dog, bro. I appreciate you. Run up the door.
Oh, that was great.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.